Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Monday, April the 15th. Welcome to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and plenty of action around NASCAR this weekend between the Truck Series at Rockingham and the Nationwide and the Cup Series in Texas. I just want to send out my thoughts and prayers to everyone in Boston running the marathon today, to those that were injured and all that. It's a sad day when something like that happens. I just want to let everybody know that one of my friends was actually in the race. I saw where she and her family were up there. Her family was in the bleacher. She was crossing the finish line just about at the time the first explosion was, and she handles PR for some of the teams, or her PR firm does, and she was an avid runner, and I used to kid her about doing all that running, and but one of the things in her life was wanting to run the Boston Marathon, and she was able to do that today, and fortunately she was not one of the people killed or injured. So, Demi, if you're out there and can hear us, I'm glad you made it through unharmed, along with you and your family. They were in the bleachers on the far side of where the explosion happened, so they were safe from all the mayhem, and that's good to hear. And I said, our thoughts and prayers go out with those who were injured or killed, and the families of those that that were there for an extraordinary event, running 26.2 miles, something that happens every year in Boston on Patriots Day, no less, and this had to happen. I hope that they catch who did that and find them guilty and put them to death if they weren't killed already. There are all sorts of stories coming out of there, and I heard there was a person of interest in one of the hospitals with shrapnel on there on a student visa, so if they had anything to do with it, maybe be punished. But anyway, as far as the weekend goes, this coming weekend, the NHRA is going to be down at the Charlotte Motor Speedway for the 4-wide Nationals, and they'll be going down the drag strip 4 side, and that always makes for an interesting event. The Nationwide Series will be off this coming weekend. When the Cup Series will be out at the Kansas Speedway along with the Truck Series, the Nationwide Series will return at Richmond. And I'll be down there covering the event. So we'll have some plenty of interviews and stuff on Garage, the following show that on Garage Talk Live. But anyway, tonight we're going to have Performance Racing Network's Steve Richards joining us. He was out at the Texas Motor Speedway. And he was covering the event. He had the last 10 pit stops in the infield care center. It turned out to be the weekend of anyone named Kyle. Starting off with the Nationwide race on Friday night, Kyle Busch made a mess of the field. Wound up leading for 91 of the 200 laps for pretty much dominating event. Brad Keselowski wound up finishing second, running the discount tire Ford. He had led 5 times for 33 laps. Austin Dillon came in third. That Dale Jr., who was entered in the race, came in fourth. Had a better day on Friday night than he did on Saturday night. So he, guess he should have sat out that Friday race and concentrated on the Saturday one. But Kevin Harvick came home fifth. A good day for him. Matt Kenseth was sixth, seventh. Regan Smith. Eighth was Casey Kane. Ninth was Brian Vickers. And tenth was Justin Allgaier. Sam Hornish Jr., who came into the race as the points leader, started fourth, wound up finishing 34th after he got into a wreck involving himself and who he was with here. The 51 of Jeremy Clements, they got together later in the race, about the almost at the halfway mark, and wound up hurting Sam Hornish's run there. It's as the points leader, you want to try to stay out of as much trouble as you can. 22 lead changes amongst 11 drivers. Looks like the big leaders were Kyle Busch, Keselowski, Sam Hornish Jr. had 29 laps led. Casey Kane had 26 laps led. Matt Kenseth had 12. Pole sitter was rookie Alex Bowman. And he led the first four laps of the race before Kyle Busch took over to take the lead for one of his five times for the 91 laps. There were eight cautions for 42 of those laps, and the final caution came out with 32 laps to go for debris. There were five cautions for accidents and three for debris. So it's a fairly clean race, nothing major. Two spins and one actual crash, so that kind of was able to punch up the field for the final running. So that allowed Kyle Busch to start for his first win of the weekend. Nationwide Series points right now, Sam Hornish Jr. still leads the points, but he's has been cut down a two-point lead over Regan Smith with that 34th place finish, so he was able to hold on to that. So, fortunately, ride that points lead into Richmond, where I'll hope to build that back up again. Austin Dillon is in third place, keep points back. Justin Allgaier is 9 points back, tied with Brian Scott for fourth and they're nine back, and then the biggest jump comes there for sixth place with 35 points back is Parker Kligerman. And then Elliott Sadler, 36 back at seventh. Alex Bowman, the rookie, in eighth. And 38 back, and then ninth, 39 back is Brian Vickers. And Trevor Bain rounds out the top 10 in points. Kyle Larson, the rookie, who he's a guy you'll have to watch because he's been making a good run of it of late between the Nationwide Series and the Camping World Truck Series. And he had the finished second to Kyle Busch at Bristol. He's in 11th place. And where did he wind up? Yesterday, Friday. He was up near the top, but I guess I don't see this car entered. Casey Kane mean, Joey Logano, who ran in the Cup race on Sunday, after the subject of such controversy there, and then I think his teammate kind of took off on that controversy after what he had to say about Penske Racing getting picked on by NASCAR. It seemed that Joey Logano's car wasn't even, was in his car and Joey's car were, I guess, failed the preliminary inspection and had to go through tech almost all the way up to the time, up until the time the command was given. They weren't even in the cars yet, at least Joey wasn't, and had to pretty much hurry up onto the field. So there was some speculation as to whether what Brad had to say was going to get him fined or not, but NASCAR came out and said he wasn't going to get fined. It didn't have anything to do with the detriment of the competition, which I don't know how they rate their fines or how they're going to do them, but, you know, NASCAR sets the rules and they'll deem what I guess they feel is detriment to the sport or the competitiveness of the racer or what have you there. There was no retaliations in the race over the weekend. Texas, a fast track. Kyle Busch won the pole for the race on Saturday night with a track record of over 196 miles an hour. And it was his race pretty much all day. And the only scare he really got was Martin Truex Jr., who was able to lead a lot of the later laps, and it was coming down to that last pit stop. The final stop, they clocked Kyle Busch at 12 seconds. He was kind of rolling out of the pits early. So I felt they got a late jump on the clock. His team clocked it as an 11.7-second stop, and I think the stop was closer to that. He was able to get out of the pits ahead of Truex for the start of a green-white checker finish, which then it became down to who was going to get the jump on the restart, because that last caution came out. It was late in the race on lap 315. So from that 315 to 318, there was a debris caution that got everybody in there. They all came in and got their tires, and it was going to be a shootout from there, and that's what caused Kyle Busch to get out ahead of Truex. It was a good run for Truex because, like I said, he had taken over the last half of the race. You figure between Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr., there was 313 of the laps led out of the 334 that were run. So Jeff Gordon had led 15 laps, and that was the only other double-digit lap leader in the event. Newman led for three. Reagan, McGilliland, and Logano each led one lap on, I guess, exchange of pit stops. That's about the only other time there was a different leaders. The race was pretty much Kyle Busch's in the early half, and then the late half was Martin Truex Jr. There were 18 lead changes amongst seven drivers, but only two drivers of major importance in the race. So we'll talk to Steve Richards about that. He got to see a lot of what's going on there, and he got to work the pitch. Usually when he's at an MRN race, being he works for Bruton Smith's version of that, which is PRN, doesn't have to man the section. He can go where he wants and get all the sound he needs. So. But Kyle Busch wound up holding off Martin Truex Jr. Carl Edwards, out of nowhere, came in third. He had some major problems. And so he wound up coming in third, fighting his way back. I think he had more problems. He figured he had more minor problems that were able to get intended to early enough to where he can do that. Greg Biffle came home fourth. Joey Logano was fifth. Jimmy Johnson was sixth. Harrick Amarola, good run for him in the 43 Ford Fusion for Richard Petty Motorsports, was seventh. Eighth was Brian Vickers, filling in for the injured Denny Hamlin in the 11 car. Ninth was Brad Keselowski, got a lot of work ahead of him. And 10th was Ryan Newman. He was the only, and then there were only two Chevys in the top 10, and that was Jimmy Johnson and Ryan Newman. The rest were Toyotas and Fords. It was pretty evenly split between the Fords and the Toyotas, so it turned out to be a two-car event. But most of the field, most of the race was dominated by the two Toyotas, one for Joe Gibbs Racing and Martin Truex Jr. in the Michael Waltrip Toyota. Danica fans, not a good day to start for her. Wound up 28th. She started 42nd in the field. Dale Jr., tough day for him. He was running third when his battery went dead, so they had to go change that. And he wound up four laps down in 29th position by the time he got out on the track. So it wasn't a good day for him. He's the only one of the, I think, the Hendrick cars that had a bad day. Figure Johnson was sixth. Casey Kane was 11th. Maybe Jeff Gordon. That's right. He wound up pulling it behind the wall as well. He had a 38th place finish. A lot of hubbub over the race, being sponsored by the NRA coming into the race. But the race went off without a hitch. Prior to the green flag, two cars had to drop to the back of the field. Joey Logano's 22 because he was late to the grid, and Kevin Harvick, had an engine change. That was his third engine of the weekend, so everybody was worried about his the Earnhardt Childress engines that were on some of the Chevys out there. The race took 3 hours, 27 minutes, and 40 seconds long. The average speed of the race was 144.75 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.508 seconds. Down to the points battle, it's Jimmy Johnson at the top spot with a 9-point lead over Brad Keselowski. So Brad trying to whittle his way back up and do battle with the with five-time, the same two were battling for last year's Sprint Cup. So he's looking to defend his title. Kyle Busch in the third spot now. He's 18 back. Good run for him. He's Torrey's trying to maintain consistency. He has 2 wins this year, and equal to Jimmy Johnson, so they get bonus points for that. The only other people in the top 10 with wins are Carl Edwards and Casey Kane. So they're Edwards turning his year around after a dismal one last year. 4th in the points is Biffle. 5th is Edwards. Earnhardt Jr. drops to 6th after the tough day he's had. 7th, Casey Kane. 8th, Joey Logano. 8th is Clint Boyer, 9th is Joey Logano. And rounding out the top 10 is Paul Bernard. The bubble spots as of now are Matt Kenseth in 11th and Kevin Harvick in 12th, but that'll change due to the amount of wins. So top 10 are locked in. 11 and 12 are decided on who has the most wins, unless there's a tiebreaker in that one. On to the Truck Series. They said if your name is Kyle, it was your weekend. Kyle Larson. A dominating run for him, leading 2 times for 187 of the 205 laps. He started 3rd. Pole sitter was won for a 2nd pole in a row by Jeb Burton. He's a runner for Jeb's running for Rookie of the Year, so he wound up with his 2nd pole in as many races. Johnny Soto, the other story on the weekend, was going for his 3rd straight win in the truck in the Camping World Truck Series. So a lot of storylines going on, and it turned out to be Kyle Larson's day in the Autism Speaks Ford Chevy, the number 30. Joey Logano, who has taken over the 19 truck from Ross Chastain for Brad Keselowski Racing, managed to find his way all the way back up to 2nd. He started 7th, but went to the back, got caught on a pit road penalty, I believe, and had to fight his way back. 3rd, Brendan Gaughan in the South Point Chevrolet. 4th, Johnny Sauter, who did not get his 3rd straight win, but did manage a 4th place finish. 5th, Chase Elliott, Bill Elliott's son. He's one you got to watch for, another 2nd generation driver. Matt Crafton was 6th. Thor Sport teammate to Johnny Sauter, second-generation driver to Ward Burton. His son Jeb, again, that's 7th. Ryan Blaney was 8th. Rookie Eric Jones was 9th, driving in the 51. Started 36. That was a good run for him. Miguel Paluto came in 10th. 11th was John West Townley. Ty Dillon was 12th. Joey Coulter was 13th. And James Buescher, 14th. And Ron Hornaday Jr. was 15th. A little bit of activity between Ron Hornaday Jr. and Darrell Watson Jr. Apparently they were racing each other, and then when the caution came out, Hornaday came and spun Darrell Wallace Jr. into the wall. A lot of controversy coming up on whether Hornaday would get parked like Kyle Busch did when he did that to Hornaday a couple years ago. But again, he was called to the NASCAR hauler at the end of the race, so we'll have to see what comes out. Usually penalties and things come out on Tuesdays. So check our Garage Talk Live page, and we should have the update for posted on that. In the Truck Series points, Johnny Sauter with a 16-point lead over Jeb Burton. So Matt Crafton is third. Hornaday listed as fourth right now, pending a penalty. Ryan Blaney is fifth. Sixth is Ty Dillon. Miguel Peluto is seventh. Eighth, James Buescher. Ninth, Ryan Sieg. Tenth is Darrell Wallace Jr. 11th, Dakota Armstrong. 12th, Brendan Gaughan. Joey Calder, 13th. Todd Bodine, 14th. Chase Elliott, 15th. The race yesterday was 7 cautions for 33 laps. There were 4 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. And needless, like I said, the day was pretty much owned by Kyle Larson, who led 187 laps. James Buescher led 17 laps, and Johnny Sauter led 1 lap. That was a pretty amazing run for the kid, considering after putting his car in the fence at Daytona in the Nationwide Series and all the stuff that caused. So we'll have to see what happens there again. Fun day at Texas. That's what I said. If your name was Kyle, you won the weekend. Kyle Busch swept the Nationwide in the Cup Series race, and Kyle Larson won the Truck Series race. That's funny how that worked out. I think if Kyle Busch would have ran that Truck Series race, he might have swept that. I think there is one time where he actually swept all 3 races, but that's not the case. So anyway, see what else is going on. Another thing I think everybody was wondering, 2 NASCAR drivers were advised not to do interviews in the media center to avoid appearing with the NRA logo behind them. But nobody said who, so that was a report on ESPN, but nobody said which 2 drivers they were, so that's the part that makes me kind of curious as to who it is. Of course, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy tried to urge Fox not to even air the race because it was sponsored by the NRA, but, you know, if they're putting up the money for the purse, I don't think that Connecticut senator has any idea of the NASCAR culture, but it's just one of those deals that the guy should have kept his mouth shut. And I'm still trying to figure out who the 2 drivers were. Maybe our guest might have some insight, but if they're not saying, then I'll have to find out off the record. And then I can't tell you anyway. It's next weekend. If you want to give us a call real quick, the number is 646-649-1899. Give us your thoughts on the race and do you think that NASCAR should fine Brad Keselowski, I don't think he hasn't been on the scene since trying to qualify for Daytona. Tried to book an interview earlier with Charlie Kimball of the IndyCar Series this Wednesday, but his schedule got filled up for a pre-tape on Wednesday, so I'm looking for So as soon as if we get a second, I think the IndyCar PR person gets another driver, then I'll be happy to get a schedule an interview with them, and now we can tape it, put them on. But right now, tonight's Monday, and I don't worry about guests for the next show until tomorrow. So tomorrow's when I start the search for the guests for next week. Everybody will be out at Kansas. Nationwide's off, so we'll have to wait till I know I'll get some interviews the following week because head down to Richmond and get some guests there. Hope everybody enjoyed last week's show. Had Tanner Faust on for a good 45 minutes. I don't know if he wasn't expecting to be on that long, but we just got to talking and away we went. And that's kind of what happens over here on Garage Talk Live. If you don't catch the show tonight, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. And we'll be up on podcast, so you can pick the either today's show, the 15th, or last week's show, the 8th, and any one of the shows. Tomorrow night, Load Down and Dirty will be on, so you can catch their show live at 8 o'clock. And then, of course, Thursday nights is Girls Getting the Facts with Tammy and Amy. So we have on which... It's going good with Tammy doing a lot of the work for Grandview Speedway, and she'll be covering the beginning of all that, so you can catch her running around there all weekend along with the Low Down and Dirty guys who cover the local dirt tracks in the area up there. So always a fun week on the Garage Talk Live Network, and we're here every Monday night from 8 to whenever. So you can catch us here, and our guests ought to be getting here pretty shortly. So can't wait to talk to him. I haven't seen him. See, I didn't go to Dover till last year, and I usually see him at Dover, so can't wait to catch up with PRN reporter Steve Richards. I've been trying to get up on the show for a while. You know, get some other insight instead of just me babbling away. So, let's see what happens in the next week. As a matter of fact, one of our guests will be president of Richmond International Raceway, Dennis Bickmeyer. We've had him on before, and looking to have him on again to talk about race weekend at Richmond. We'll get to meet. I should get to meet him. I've been trying to get down there to cover a race. I figured that once I moved a wee bit closer, if it's from where I was in New Jersey to where I am now is a wee bit closer. Remains to be seen, but we'll see how that goes. And he'll be joining us at 8 o'clock next week, top of the hour. So we'll see who we can get. And after that, and should be pretty interesting. So hope to get my buddy on in a few minutes. I'm glad I gave him the number in case he got a little behind here, so he should be hopefully checking in pretty soon. Must have got stuck in traffic or doing something. He had to be in Mooresville at the bid. He said he could do it. So sometimes they run a little behind. Maybe their clock isn't set to the same one ours. So great things coming up in the future. So we'll see what happens in a few minutes. Let's run down the schedule. The Nationwide race, I said they were off next week, so we'll bring up the Sprint Cup schedule. Yeah, at Kansas this coming weekend, and Richmond. After that, it's out to the High Banks of Talladega for the 5th of May, and then out to Darlington. And then as we get closer to Memorial Day, we have the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the All-Star Race, and then after that, the Coke 600. And on to Dover and Pocono. Seems like then about the year's about half over, as it is already. So, then Truck Series this weekend at Kansas. Then they go out to Charlotte on the 17th. So they'll be running the weekend of the All-Star Race. So after the Kansas race, they have a couple weeks off until Charlotte. Then they'll return in action 31st of May at Dover, part of that triple header weekend, and we'll have somebody from Dover on to promote the Monster Mile. My old stomping grounds up there before I came down here. And then after the Monster Mile, it's Pocono Raceway. They have that's the doubleheader day. Well, actually, they go to Dover, then they go out to Texas, Kentucky, Iowa, and then 24th of July, Eldora Speedway for the only dirt track race of the season for the Truck Series. That's be their first foray onto the dirt. And that ought to be interesting to watch. As good as truck racing is on asphalt, I can't wait to see them on dirt. That'll be on a Wednesday night on speed at 8:00. So it's not a weekend race, so that's one you'll have to mark in your schedule. Nationwide Series returns to action in Richmond. And then after there, they'll shoot over to Talladega, and then Darlington, Charlotte, and then Dover. So, again, part of that triple header, the Monster Mile. Always a good race there, too. As well as Richmond. So it's going to be a fun weekend in a couple of weeks for me. My first four-way down to Richmond. If anybody that's going to be in that area, to want to get together, should be down there. It's going to be a weird schedule because the track opens up at 6 and it closes after the races. So I can't wait to try that one out. Usually when I head to Dover, I'm down. I leave my house at 6 and uh, And I'm there from 7 until, I guess at the track, until like, depending on what time the racing's all done, and then head home. And usually it's by 7 at night, Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. Fridays and Saturdays are when I try to schedule in all the interviews. We'll get the press conferences, the post-race press conferences, where we get the audio and go from there. But I can't wait to see what happens this coming weekend in Kansas. I will be making our picks for that a little bit later on. Another mile and a halfer. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of these mile and a halfers. But the good news is, we'll go back to short track. Out at Richmond International Raceway. The action track. So they'll have some fun stuff going on there. And can't wait to... for that to happen. So be my first race in a couple of years. Didn't go anywhere last year, and then the year before that I was covering Dover and was on up on the old Jersey AM station I was out of before we moved here to Blog Talk Radio, so we can get to the bigger reach. And if you want to give us a call, I guess, give us the number 646-649-1899. Be glad to talk with you here and tell me what you thought about the weekend. Was it too much of one driver owning the weekend, or did you like more of the side stuff that went on? I'm kind of curious to what you all had to think, so... give me a call. That's what we're here for. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com. We are checking out our Facebook and Twitter feeds. And, I'm usually on the weekends during the races. If anything happens, anything interesting happens. I used to update it all the time, but after a while, when nothing happens, how often can I put lap 25, so-and-so's leading, lap 50, same person's leading, and all that? Well, they like to bring to this. Well, I'd like to bring to the show my very special guest, Performance Racing Network's pit reporter, Steve Richards. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. Sorry, we told you to call in a few minutes ago. Got kind of delayed, so but good to be here.
Well, that's why I gave you the number, so got hung up. It's always a exciting weekend down in Texas. A lot of, I guess, more sidebar stuff than what happened on the track. Seemed to be
Seemed like the pit between the pit road fire and Brad Keselowski and all the other stuff going on. It was, I guess, all the sidebar stuff made it an interesting evening. From what I could tell, there was some good racing and there was some boring racing going on out there, but. Overall, you got to feel pretty sorry. Feel sorry for the 56 team. I had their pits this past weekend, and they had put it all together. Talked to the crew chief, Chad Johnston, before the race, and he thought they were at least a top five car, winning car, real confident. They learned a lot in the test on Thursday. Felt they had a shot to win. Matter of fact, the 18 was amongst the top three or four. We heard from, we talked a bunch of crew chiefs that morning, the 18, the 48, and the 56 were the top three cars. And on the air, I picked the 48. I, really, in my head, I thought, go 18, pick the 18. But I thought, nah, go with the crew chiefs. They all said 48 and the 18 seconds, so I went with them. So maybe I should just listen to my own self next time. But pretty interesting. And what happened today was interesting, too, with Brian France. So, you know, saying that they won't penalize Kozlowski for what he said. So Brian was on Fox Business Network earlier today, and that was brought up amongst a couple other topics. And the difference, he was asked the difference between penalizing Denny Hamlin for what he said after Phoenix about the Gen 6 car compared to what Kozlowski said. You know, France just said that drivers have a right to their opinion about, you know, the what was going on, but don't criticize the car, don't criticize the racing. Other than that, they're, you know, you can criticize what NASCAR, you know, does, says, whatever, but not the racing. So Brian said that Brad's all clear, and so that's that.
I guess because he thought that Penske was getting picked on with some of the stuff through the inspection, he was able to criticize.
Right. Well,
I don't know. Well,
apparently they found something in inspection in that rear end housing that they didn't like, and whether that was, you know, what was going on last year, a lot of the teams said that they had something in the back end of that race car that was working really well for those guys, obviously a lot better for the 2 than the 22, but last year, but I think maybe that had something to do with the driver, but at the same time, you know, they just found something they didn't like this past weekend, and I'm sure we'll learn more about it as the week goes on and next weekend at Kansas, but you know, it didn't seem to affect Joey. Roger Penske afterwards said that, you know, whatever they did, it didn't gain him any performance because he drove up in the top five eventually, ended up, you know, with a top five finish. So so we'll see what happens with the 56. You know, the 56 was too low after the race, and it was a shock situation, something that happened to the shock during the race. But, you know, rules are rule. We'll see if they get penalized and or fined tomorrow. With 56, so talked to Chad Johnson after the race, and he was more worried about the reputation than any kind of penalty or monetary fine. He just wants to know that they're not out there cheating, trying to gain an advantage over anybody. That's what he was more worried about than anything else. So we'll have to see what NASCAR says.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me is the stuff that they check on after the race, where there's great potential for equipment failure of some sort, like a shock or even, you know, to lower the height of the car. If they make it through initial tech and then, you know, that last round inspections before they hit the grid, they think that's where the potential for cheating would be caught.
Right.
You know, those guys are bouncing up and down. Texas, they were talking about the bumps out, turn two?
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll wear on shocks as well. And if you're going to pop a... The way these shocks are set up, sensitive as they are, it's just a matter of the wear and tear on it. And, you know, that type of thing, as far as the thing being too low, I could understand if maybe the spoiler was back too far or up too far for that kind of an advantage. But when they're turning speeds, I think, the pole speed was 196 track record for Kyle Busch this weekend. And
he's up there.
Yeah, that's one of the faster tracks on the circuit, and I'm surprised with Jewelry and
when they built that track, you know, there's bumps over there because there's a tunnel over there, and when it was first being built, some of the drivers, Terry Labonte, I guess, was one of the guys who was consulting on that deal, and he said, don't put the turn in the tunnel. Or the tunnel in the turn, whatever. Don't put the tunnel in the turn. Put it in the straightaway. They did it anyway. So so they got their bumps. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's like Pocono, right through turn two there. Here's the tunnel.
Yep. Yep.
The mile and a half in Texas with the banking in Charlotte. There's a couple in Atlanta. There are three... highest speed tracks,
mm-hmm.
that's non-restrictor plates. So they're, I mean, I don't know, I think California and Michigan are pretty fast too, but
right.
I don't know, it doesn't seem to have the to me the excitement that the smaller ones have out there, like Texas. You do the Texas and the Charlotte ones. You look at all the races there, Steve, or pretty
well,
much?
Yeah, because there's PRN and MRN, and I do PRN, so we do all the races at the Bruton Smith tracks, SMI tracks, and so it's 12 or 13 cup races, and of course the nationwide races that go along with them, and then MRN does the other ones, and then Indianapolis has their own network. So, but I probably do about 23, 25, 26 races a year because we have other programs that I have to, gather audio for, and it's just it's a regular news beat, just like anything else. It just happens to be race cars. So, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm away from home quite a bit.
Well, you know, I think that's the hardest drawback is the travel time. Because I met you at Dover years ago, and that's an MRN track, and you're the main. Audio getter for the, or the only audio getter for
the only one, yeah. But, I've been doing this for a long time. So, it's been my first race was 1985.
Wow.
Been doing it full time since probably the mid 90s, but, 1989 was the first one, or I'm sorry, 1985 was the first one way back when. So it's been a long time, a lot of races,
a lot of frequent flyer miles. I guess the wife must love it when you get home because she's got you for a couple of days before you're out for the next one.
Well, she travels quite a bit too, so she's actually in Austin, Texas right now at her home office. I'm in Charlotte. We both work out of the house, and she's down in Texas, business down there. And I saw her, I saw her for 2 or 3 hours on Sunday before I took her to the airport. And then before that, I saw her about a week earlier before I went to Texas, so a few days earlier. So, she travels maybe more than I do, it seems like, but it all works. It all works. I've known her for a long time, and it all works. She knew what she was getting into, and so did I.
That's what makes it work. As long as everybody knows what they're up against. And,
Oh yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll be coming to the Richmond race, so I'll get to see you there. My first race back since Dover of 2011.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I will not be there.
So you won't. One of your weekends off, huh?
I have actually Richmond. I will be in Texas. It's my wife's company picnic, so I'm going to Austin, Texas that weekend. I will be working remotely, but I won't be at the track at Texas, or at Richmond rather. You ought to come down to Charlotte. You're close enough.
Yeah, I know, but it's hard for, I guess, an independent to get credentials. Been doing it at places like SMI Track, so I'm closer to Bristol than to Charlotte.
Well, that's true. The August race is coming up, and that's always a good one. Everybody should go to the August race. If you've never been to an August race at Bristol, that's one of the things that should be on your bucket list, because that is the most incredible race you'll probably ever attend, bar none. I mean, it's just action all the time. No matter what they say about the racetrack, about the racing, it's just an incredible experience that you should definitely go see. And you go once, and you'll go almost every year if you can, because it's just an incredible show.
Hey, Steve, guess what? I did it last August.
Yeah?
Yep. Got the tickets early enough, so we were invited to do the drive on the track. So we took the old 08 Mustang GT out there.
There you go.
We got to have some fun driving around the high banks.
How'd you do?
Well,
you didn't wreck it, did
good,
you?
Yeah. No, I didn't wreck it, because we got to take turns. They had so many times you can go out there.
Uh-huh.
And they run the pace car up about 75 miles an hour, so the car was good for that. Anything a little faster than that is starting to push towards the wall because the tire. We had some worn tires, so we didn't want to they didn't want to plaster it, but we got to appreciate what the drivers are going through that banking pretty much twice as fast as what we were doing it.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Can you imagine going that fast, you know, for 4 hours or whatever it is? That's incredible. You know, some people think drivers aren't athletes, and they're mistaken, because you talk to professional athletes, and, you know, all the ones that I've talked to over the years, you know, they all say that drivers are definitely athletes. It's a incredibly, you know, taxing thing to do, because if it was easy, everybody would do it, you know?
Yeah, the athletes I've interviewed over the years said the same thing. It's the fans that...
Some of them.
Are the ones that say that, oh, that's all the stick and ball fans that don't know any better say that it's not a sport or that they're not athletes. So they don't really understand the stamina and duration. And
mm-hmm.
You got to be in shape to be able to handle that. Cause it's not like in the old days where you get the overweight guys like... climb out of the car and just about be dead to the world right afterwards.
Well, you'd think that more stick and ball guys or more stick and ball fans would realize that when the stick and ball athletes say that the race car drivers are definitely athletes and they couldn't do what they do. You know, you would think that that stick and ball fans would go, oh, maybe I ought to check this out, or, you know, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, if you get a guy like, Brad Daugherty, who I guess who played professional basketball his whole career, but his second love was NASCAR racing. Now he's the ESPN analyst.
Mm-hmm.
So part team owner and all that kind of good stuff. A lot of these old stick and ball guys are becoming part team owners because they want to get involved and they know it's a sport. So
look at the Randy Moss was in it, and Brett Favre, and you know, Reggie White, when he was alive, he was helping out NASCAR with their diversity program, and he actually helped them get that started. And Cal Ripken interviewed him a couple of times, and the list goes on. LeBron James, he was in Bristol a few years ago, and he appreciated it. So, yeah, I mean, there's the list goes on. Troy Aikman. Hockey players, there's a bunch of hockey players that go to the races. You'd never know it. So
I know, as a matter of fact, one time they had Kevin Harvick come up to Philly, Jeff Carter, the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
One was a fan of the other, and they were able to bring them together. And David Akers, former Eagles kicker, he drives in the celebrity races. So
Right. Well, Harvick had some guests this weekend. He had an MMA fight, martial arts fighter there, and he had Big Black from MTV. He was in the pits. He was in the grid. He was on pit road the other day. It was kind of funny. So, all sorts of personalities, all sorts of athletes. What did you think of the race this past weekend?
It seemed like. It was a tale of two drivers. Kyle Busch the first half, Marty Truex the second half. That last pit stop was all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
They Ron Hornaday Jr., king of the restarts, but I think Kyle Busch has claimed that title.
Yeah, well, he got out of the off pit road first. He beat the 56 off of pit road, and that's what did it, that fast pit stop. He said in the post race that Dave Rogers, the crew chief for Kyle Busch, said his pit stop was like 11-8. And Kyle said that crew chief's watchers always run fast. So, but they had a great pit stop, and that's kind of what did it for him. So,
well, that wasn't too much fast. Fox had it clocked at 12 flat, and I thought they were a little late on it because he started rolling. I thought it was 11-7, 11-8, too.
Mm.
And, being here, that number one stall, you'd have to get very far. And
right.
Still, once the green flag drops, though, you still got to be able to hold the lead and take the lead. Yeah, he's got to cross the line first, but there's been instances where the guy starting next to the one taking the green can jump the lead.
Well, Kyle had the preferred line, too, so, you know, I'm sure that helped.
What do you think of the way the cars are running now? Shouldn't they be able to run more one line over the other, whether it's the Gen 6, the Gen 5 car? I don't know. That seems sometimes it's the you got a track that's an inside groover, and sometimes you have a track that's an outside groover.
Well, I think it depends on the tires, really. It depends on what Goodyear puts out there. And with the new race car, the chassis are basically almost the same as last year. There's a few differences here and there in the suspension, but and the cars being different body styles, body wise, they're testing, are allowed to test more. So, I mean, there's going to be there's going to be discrepancies from track to track, and they just have to learn where they can go and where they can't go. But what does remain the same, you got tracks like California and Michigan where you've got three or four, even five grooves. Sometimes Michigan, they can move around. And even at Bristol, now that they've, you know, touched that up here and there, you know, the drivers are able to race and pass and not have to wreck each other as much, which I guess is not a good thing. Some people don't like that as much, but I think the racing is better. You had guys battling down towards the end side by side for 20 and 30 laps, and it was pretty darn exciting. So, I mean, you see it somewhere. You don't see it other places. But sometimes it takes Goodyear a while to figure out what kind of tire they want to have at some of these tracks and perfect that, which they try to do all the time. They're tire testing at Daytona tomorrow. There's 9 or 10 guys down there tomorrow that are testing, and they got Kyle Larson and Nelson Piquet Jr. at Darlington testing tomorrow. So I think that's more of a team test than a Goodyear test, but Daytona's definitely a Goodyear test, and they'll be able to work on some other things here and there. Jamie McMurray said they were going to try to work on pit stops because they weren't really that good getting in and off pit road at Daytona. Really cost them. So they're going to work on that, but I think it just varies from track to track, tire to tire. See what they can do with it. So we'll see. See what happens at Kansas this week. Should be interesting.
Now, is that a PRN or an MRN race?
Oh, that's an MRN race. Our next race, I believe, is Charlotte.
Yeah,
I think we're off until Charlotte.
I'll
be at Darlington. My next race is Darlington, so I'll be at Darlington.
You'll have Charlotte and then Dover. And
Dover, Pocono. Yep.
Pocono is I've never covered the Pocono race. I hope it's better than watching it on TV.
Well, I tell you, that's a race, unfortunately, that tends to get a little bit boring. Now, the drivers won't. Drivers say that it's not boring, but, they've got that whole long straightaway to think about what they're going to do the rest of the track, the rest of the way. But we'll see what happens to Pocono. But a lot of times the Pocono race is not the most exciting in the world. Yeah, the biggest thing about Pocono is it's down to 400 instead of 500, and that was the right way to go.
That's a plus.
I mean, Doc Mattioli, when he was alive, when he owned the racetrack, he was never going to shorten the race. And once he passed away, his grandson, immediately that's the first thing he did was shorten the race, because he knew that was the best thing all around for the race, for the fans, for the sport. It was just time to shorten that race. So, and people's attention spans these days.
Yeah.
Everything is quick, fast, go from one thing to the other. And for better or worse, that's kind of the way it is right now. So it's, I think that every race should be 400, except, of course, you got the road courses, except for Daytona 500 and maybe the Coca-Cola 600. That's a tradition. You take Coca-Cola 600 away and, what is it? It's just another 500-mile race.
Yeah.
So you have the Coca-Cola 600, Daytona 500. Everything else is a 400. And then New Hampshire, and there were some 300s out there. New Hampshire's a 300. Leave that. Maybe shorten some of them to 300. So.
Or they call it the 500K, like out in Phoenix,
Yeah, why not? Say what, Call it whatever you want. Just shorten the darn thing.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the things the truck series has, is that sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't get to see too many of them, I guess, unless they're at
right.
They're running with the Cup series,
and they're fun to watch too.
They are, because they're running 200 miles, 300 miles tops, and they're fighting. They only get a couple sets of tires, so there's a little strategy there, and
mm-hmm.
it's just one of those deals where, I guess, the younger blood and the older blood, one guy's trying to fight to keep it because he's getting all up in years, and the other kid's coming up, and they're fighting to go for it, so it makes for interesting racing as well.
Yeah, that was boiling blood, I guess.
But, matter of fact, Ron Hornaday Jr. wound up pulling, wrecking Darrell Wallace Jr. during a caution, so that's the big thing. Is he going to get parked like Kyle Busch did when he did that a couple years ago?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll...
I guess we'll find out all the fun stuff tomorrow.
Yeah, that's when that usually comes out. So we'll see.
So, have you noticed anything? Have the crowds been getting better for the Cup races? I know for a few years there, watched the grandstands go from packed to sections that were empty due, I guess, to the economy. Have you seen any improvement on that end?
Yeah, I have the past year and a half. This past weekend, I took a pretty good look at the Texas crowd, and it was good. I mean, it wasn't great. Speedway president Eddie Gossage said that the sales were flat. They kind of expected that. Usually goes up, for the second race. But I definitely have noticed an uptick in the crowds. Daytona was Daytona was not as packed as well as, you know, in the infield. There was a lot of infield space, a lot of empty space as far as campers were concerned. You didn't see as many people camping than you usually did at Daytona, and you didn't see as many concessions and souvenir trailers outside. It definitely, I thought, was better than last year. So, you know, hopefully it'll continue to pick up slowly as the economy picks up. We'd all like it to go faster. It's not, but that's the way it is. We've all got to live with it. So, I have noticed an uptick, and that's for sure. That's good news.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus. I know certain tracks, I think, will always draw better than others, Bristol being one of those. Just because of the excitement there, Daytona, the event that is the 500, that's, you know, more than just a weekend, a Sunday race. So you got everything that's going on prior to that. I think this year we had, what, Danica Mania at Daytona?
Mm-hmm.
What happened with that?
Well, definitely the Nationwide Series, or the Cup and the Nationwide Series races are up because of Danica. She does move the needle. She really does. I mean,
yeah.
You go down and look at her souvenir hauler. It's packed. It's usually packed. Danica and Dale Jr., those are the two that move the needle out there. So that hasn't changed.
I think she might be drawing some of that most popular driver or crowd away from Junior. I know you got Junior Nation out there, but she has her own set of fans that seem to follow her. I know she catches a lot of flack that I read out there on the blogs and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, you can't just jump right into a Sprint Cup car without building some experience. And
mm-hmm. Well,
maybe another year Nationwide might have helped, but who knows?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think she was ready to tackle it. I mean, it's funny because she's a better road course driver and a short track driver than she is on the on the super speedways on the mile and a half. And, you know, people might not have thought that going in, but, you know, I think that's where she's going to show her strength right now. But I tell you, all of Stuart Haas Racing has struggled on these these mile and a half. And it's kind of weird. I talked to coming back from Texas in the security line. We saw Kyle Petty, and we were talking about that for a little bit. They really have the same people last year, the year before. You know, they've had this in place, and they have the personnel in place. And, you know, they really don't have any idea. They're clueless as to why their performance has been down this year. So, you know, talked to Kyle for a while about that and some other subjects, but you know, we'll have to see how they really don't usually get, you know, their performance doesn't usually pick up until about this time, about the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to see if that holds true again this season. But, you know, yeah, Danica hasn't had the kind of start that she's wanted, but, geez, neither is Tony or Ryan especially. So we'll have to see if that turns around. So
I think it's been a better year for, Kyle Busch seems to be having a turnaround year. Carl Edwards seems to be bouncing back. The Fords seem to have made better progress over last year than they so they're, I think they're going to be the ones to keep an eye out. I thought Kenseth moving over to Gibbs would there be another he wasn't going to step in there and continue where he was when he left off, and he's running good, but you know, you got to learn your new people there too.
Well, it's funny because Kyle Petty was telling us today, we were talking about Kenseth. You know, Kenseth ran so well at Martinsville, and he never did run that good in a Roush car. Even Matt can't figure it out because he said, he told Kyle, he says, I have no idea. He says, I just jumped in the car. I didn't drive it any differently than when I drove a Roush car. But it just goes. It just went. So you talk about turnaround. This is, see if I can play something for you. Here, Kyle Busch during the Texas post race yesterday talked about the fact that he didn't have any idea how the turnaround or why the turnaround this season. Last year at this time, Cup and Nationwide combined, Kyle had won one race. And now in 13 starts in both series, he's won six. So this is what Kyle had to say at the press conference afterwards. See if we can get this.
A lot of things are different, but for some reason, man, I'm telling you, I don't know what it was. But there was just a funk last year, and my wife could tell you just that. You know, I mean, we tried so hard to change things that we were doing. But, you know, there was a stretch there where we thought finally, okay, things are heading in the right direction. We had, I think, four top fives in a row. We head to Charlotte, and then, boom, right after that, three DNFs in a row. And it's like, oh, my gosh, here we go. You know, then you'd have a good run, then you'd have two bad runs, then you'd have a good run, and then you'd have a bad run. You could never make up that ground that you kept losing with the bad races, you know. So, running the KBM stuff last year as a startup team was tough in the beginning. We were a little slow, but we made a lot of strides throughout the year, and I thought we were very competitive at the end of the season. We could have won four or five races. It's just every scenario worked itself against me. And even on the Cup side, too, I mean, Dave and I, we had, I don't know what, six of the last 10 races, we had a legitimate shot to win. And just, you know, look what happens, you know, just stupid stuff that's out of your control sometimes. I mean, you think back to Phoenix, I think we led the most laps, and Homestead, I mean, geez, we led the most laps. Us and Truex was up front battling for the lead and up against the wall the whole day, didn't put a mark on the car. And then pit strategy comes into play, and, you know, we're three laps short on fuels and just can't make it. Dover was another one. Just there was a funk, and, you know, I'm glad the monkey's off our back. We're riding a wave right now. It's 30 feet tall and ready to keep riding.
Yeah. So there's Kyle Busch after the race yesterday.
That's what happens when you're there.
Who knows?
But, yeah, I mean, you know, the guy's got a lot of talent, and you can't say he didn't take it with him when he went from Hendrick over to Gibbs. And sometimes you just have a bad year, and last year was it. Who knows? He might be able to parlay this into a championship this year. I know he catches a lot of flack from the fans, but, you know, you need the bad boys.
Oh, absolutely. You need all kinds of personalities, and we have them. I mean, we've got the good guys, the bad guys, the in-between guys, you know, guys you love to hate, guys you hate, you know. It's funny. Last year, I remember talking with Casey Kane one time, just shooting the breeze, and it was here at Charlotte, and it was some kind of a press conference, and we were talking about what drivers see or go through when they go out on do the driver intros, where they get in the pickup trucks and ride around, and the fans wave to the fans and everything. And Casey says that most of the time they cheer and everything, and sometimes people shoot them the bird, you know, and yell at them. And I said, who would flip off Casey Kane? He's the nicest guy in the world. Who in the world would want to flip off Casey Kane? And he started laughing, and he's like, I don't know, but sometimes they do. So takes all kinds. There's all kinds out there.
Sure does. I guess it all depends on who you're a fan of. I mean, it used to be the old Earnhardt Elliott fans. Bill Elliott, one of the nicest guys in the world. His fans are total a-holes. You know? That's before I started covering. That's when I was entertaining the sport as a fan, sitting there in the stands with everybody. It's like, why got to be like that? So.
That's when you were a Bill Elliott fan, right?
No, I was an Earnhardt fan, actually.
You were an Earnhardt fan, okay.
I like the rough drivers, Earnhardt, Timmy, Richmond, guys like that.
Right, right.
But as a matter of fact, that's one guy I said. I was up in New York when they went to the 21 Club with Jimmy Johnson there.
Mm-hmm.
Says that, you know, you'd have had a few more of these if Tim Richmond was still around, and he probably, you know, wouldn't have to wait till Jeff Gordon to get a championship at the time. But, you know, the fun drivers of Watson battle lap by lap. I remember when he won at Pocono and they were going 2-3 wide across the line there in 87 or 88, like right before he got really sick.
Mm-hmm.
But, now you look at guys like Kyle Busch, Tony Stewart. They're the rough and tumble guys. Brad Keselowski, I guess, you know, coming up from the Nationwide Series, had a sort of a reputation that everybody said they're going to slap him down a bit, but I guess it didn't work too well. He's the defending champ.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need more women in the sport.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's going to be the next phase of growth. But I'd like to see them with good equipment, too. I mean, Danica's
well,
got good equipment because she brings a good sponsor, I guess. But I guess Johanna Long's if she could survive with the team she's on and maybe somebody give her a chance in some better stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's got a lot of potential. Definitely has a lot of potential, so she would be a welcome addition. Definitely, hopefully she can, you know, she's put together some pretty good races the last year or so, and like you said, if she was in better equipment, she might pick up some top tens and maybe get noticed. So, you know, maybe that'll happen for her. We'll have to just wait and see. So, I mean, Danica could really, you know, be a benefit to her someday. And some people actually think she's got more potential than Danica does in the stock cars. I mean, Danica may have gone as far as she can go in these cars. We'll have to, you know, only time will tell. But we'll see.
I know it was last September. Johanna Long was running. She was qualified eighth and was passing Denny Hamlin for fifth. And I think he said if this happens again, he's going to have to retire from the Nationwide Series. But then she wound up cutting a tire. But she was running top 10 all day, and she wound up cutting a tire and putting that in a wall. So we'll have to see what happens this week when, or not this weekend because the Nationwide's off, but next weekend when they go to Richmond. I've had her on the show several times. She's a soft-spoken young lady. Seems kind of shy in front of the microphone, so we'll... But she's you know, got the talent, I guess, and she's trying to just learn, you know, get the seat time and learn the craft and try to not to cause any problems. But she did wind up running in the back of Sam Hornish Jr. in Phoenix, but he still wound up with a seventh place finish after that, so I guess he couldn't complain too much.
Well, that's going to happen occasionally. She's not out there causing a lot of trouble, that's for sure. She's, you know, like I said, she's learning her craft and running her race and doing the best she can. She's not, you know, you don't hear about her for bad reasons, and that's always a plus. So we'll
have to wait and see what happens. I mean, if we can get two female Sprint Cup Series drivers out there at one time, that'd be a big bonus, because I think before Danica there was Shauna, and before Shauna was it Janet Guthrie. I don't think any of the other lady drivers ever made it above the Nationwide Series. So
no, I don't think Patty Moise ever ran any cup races. So I'd have to look that up, but I don't think she did.
No, I don't think she did either. So, and I'm too young. I'm too. Janet Guthrie was before my time. So
mine too. Yep, mine too. So we'll have to see. Kansas should be interesting. I'd tell you, I'd love to see Clint Bowyer win a Kansas race at least once, and or Carl Edwards. You know, he's from Missouri, but Clint grew up near where the racetrack is now. I mean, it wasn't built when he was racing; it was being built when he was racing around that area, and that's his biggest dream. I mean, if Bowyer could somehow win Kansas, that would be as big as the Daytona 500, maybe even bigger for him. So I'd love to see Clint Bowyer, you know, pull something like that off at Kansas. That would be incredible.
Are you going to pick him for this weekend? Or
I don't think I would pick him. I mean, he hasn't had the greatest start to the year. I mean, you never know. I don't know who to pick this weekend.
He started eighth last year in this race, and he wound up 36th with an engine failure. So, but you know, Truex finished second. So who knows? You know, they could have a good day. It's not out of the. Truex started sixth, so they started the race close enough to each other. So you know, he might be able to pull out the home track win.
Yeah, it's possible, but you got to look at the guys that have run the mile and a half well so far this season, and see, because there's the guys that have gotten the jump on this Gen 6 car, what it can do and what it can't do. I was just trying to look up a stat, so sorry about that. But
That's right. But
if you look at guys like they ran well this past weekend at Texas, you know, Biffle ran well. He got himself down, you know, with a pit road speeding penalty. Carl Edwards ended up third, but that was a gift. I mean, I had his pit this past weekend, and he was horrible. He was horrible the entire race.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff go wrong.
Oh, my God. And Johnson's going to be good this weekend. Gordon will be good this weekend. So, you know, this season, I mean, you know, Clint finished, you know, second at, no, he didn't finish second there. I'm just looking at some stats, trying to figure something out. But I think you've got to look at guys that have run well at Texas and at Vegas, and they'll probably be the ones to beat this weekend. It'll be your normal guys. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But look at Eric Almirola. Man, he had a great weekend as well.
Yeah, he sure did.
Ran up front most of the day.
The surprising part is his teammate, Marcus Ambrose, started out well
Thought he would have a better weekend. Thought he would have a better race. Yeah. I had Almirola's pit this weekend. I didn't have Marcos's, so I don't know what happened to them. But Eric did a nice job this weekend. Team put out a great, nice, fast car for him and took advantage of it. I don't think they screwed up any pit stops that I can remember. I think that I can recall. I mean, the pit stops were decent, and he just, you know, he was running top five for the longest time there. Ended up seventh, but I mean, he had a car that was good enough to compete. Just like Jimmy Johnson or Kozlowski or, you know, Edwards, just not good enough to beat Kyle Busch or Martin Truex Jr. So,
like I said at the top of the show, if your name was Kyle, it was your weekend because Kyle Busch won the Cup in the nationwide races. Kyle Larson won the truck race.
Absolutely.
And Larson had, what, he led 187 laps at the Rock, no less, and for a kid that young, 20 years old, there's another phenom you're going to have to watch out for coming up.
He's got some natural talent, that's for sure.
I mean, considering what happened with him at Daytona, putting the car in the fence like that, but then going to Phoenix, he had another rough week, but he's turning that around. But he finished second to Kyle at Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
Was it maybe a foot?
Yeah, it wasn't much.
But finish. It was close. So it's just one of those things that there's somebody else you got to put on the radar and see how they climb that ladder. And who knows, maybe somebody give him a shot next year in the Cup Series. But I hate when they try to rush these guys too fast, though.
Well, he's under contract with Chip Ganassi. So.
Mm.
He's, you know, we'll have to see if Ganassi, you know, see if he's able to bring him up next year. Obviously, it depends on sponsorship.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think Juan Pablo is going anywhere. McMurray's not going anywhere. I mean, I can't see a guy like Kyle Larson replacing either one of those two guys. And he should probably at least go another year or so in the Nationwide Series, because I don't think he's going to be ready for Cup for at least another season or maybe even two seasons, because I don't think Chip's going to rush it. He's
He's usually not that type of individual. And
like you say,
his sponsorship.
Yeah, sponsorship is key right there. If they had a full-time sponsor, heck, he'd be in there right now probably if there was a sponsor out there that said, hey, I'm going to spend – you know, $8-10 million on Kyle, you know, put Kyle Larson in there, you know, it would happen. So.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. Well, Steve, what do you got planned for the weekend, being the wife's away?
Well, the wife's coming back on Thursday. Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening, we are headed north to Maryland to see my folks up in Western Maryland this weekend. I'll be working, but I will be in Western Maryland working instead of Charlotte or Kansas. So,
well, that's good. At least get to spend some time with the folks. Matter of fact, I was thinking of after Richmond's heading north to visit mine. I haven't seen them in since October when I finally sold my Jersey house.
Oh, good for you.
It's nice living down here in the mountains. It's quiet.
Well, I grew up in the mountains up in Western Maryland. It wasn't as quiet as where you are, I'm sure, but I do miss the mountains sometimes. I really do.
You have to come up and visit. I'll take you out in the backyard. We'll blast away some water bottles or something.
Shoot a few rounds. That sounds good to me. All right, man. Well, I'm going to go get some dinner. I haven't got dinner yet, so I think that's what I'm going to do.
Hey, you better get something to eat there. Nothing worse than getting hungry.
Yeah.
So glad to finally have you on the show. Hope to have you back.
Oh, definitely. We'll definitely do it again, and you know, we'll talk to you soon, and let me know when you're obviously, it won't be at Richmond, but we'll keep in touch on Facebook, that's for sure.
That's for sure. All right, Steve, you take care now, and
you too.
We'll
take
see
it
what
easy.
Happens this weekend. Bye bye.
All right, bye.
There you have Steve Richards from PRN joining us here. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and we'll see you all next week. Talk to you later.